Get your Bible out. Tonight we're talking about love God and love people. This is part number 4. And anybody get blessed by this series so far? I mean, it's just been phenomenal. I don't know about you, but for me personally, I have gotten so much out of this series, and I was just amazed at what Pastor Luke and Pastor Paul brought the past 3 weeks. It's just been great. Real quick to review, because I believe that it's worth saying again, I believe it's worth reviewing what we've already talked about, because it's so rich, and there's no way that you can take this down and gulp this down. You got to take it slow. It's like a nice cheesecake. You know what I'm talking about? You can't just gulp that thing down. If you do, you're going to get a sour stomach. You know, you got to take a little bite. You know, you get a little bit of the cheesecake, a little bit of the graham cracker crust, and you kind of smudge it around in the raspberry sauce, and you take your time with it. So tonight, we're going to review a little bit, and then we'll get into the meat of the message. How many of you are hungry now for cheesecake? Praise God. Matthew chapter 22 is where we launched out. Matthew chapter number 22, verse number 37. Matthew chapter 22. If you have your Bible, you can go there with me. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse number 37, Jesus is speaking. They've just asked him a question. They said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And now here Jesus is, he opens up his mouth and he says these words. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In other words, everything you got needs to go towards loving God. That's the greatest commandment in the law. So verse 38, Jesus says, this is the first and great commandment. In other words, if you're going to do one thing, if you're going to just obey one law, that's the law you need to go after is loving God with everything that you are. All of your faculties, everything that's at your disposal, use it to love God. But then verse 39 comes along and he says this, and he says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he goes on to say, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, if you were to sum up the entirety of the law and the prophets, what they were saying, it could be summed up in two things: love God and love people. And so for our lives, we think, man, that's so simplistic, that's so easy, that's so simple, there's got to be more to that. Well, how many of you know the moment you start trying to love God, all of a sudden it gets very difficult? The moment you start trying to love other people, it exponentially gets more difficult. Because I think we make we make room for God to be God, and we say, okay, you know, I can love God, and we don't see God, and sometimes it's easy to ignore God because God's not, you know, physically there, or we can't hear his voice, and so sometimes we say, oh, I love God, even though in our lifestyle it might be a little different. But then when it comes to people, people are in our face. People are in our space. People are in our lives, and it gets more and more difficult because you can't just ignore people. You can't just shut them out. And if you do, you'll find yourself being ignored and alienated. So Jesus comes along and he says, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And we talked about to love God. To love God is to honor God, if you remember in part number 1. To love God is to revere and fear God. We talked about the fear of the Lord this morning. To love God is to submit to God and to seek God. That's what love does. Love seeks. Love submits. Also, to represent God. How about these ones? To love God is to stay in relationship with him. That because we love God, we're loyal to him. We won't depart from him. And also, to push past discomfort. And I like how Pastor Paul talked about this, kind of applies, he applied it more on the people side, but I believe that sometimes there's a discomfort when it comes to loving God. Sometimes we don't know if we're doing things the right way. Sometimes we don't want to look foolish. There's that discomfort of the flesh where we say, you know what, God is really pushing me. It's kind of like when we sing those songs where you have to jump, you know. Sometimes people say, well, I'm not a jumper. And there have been times where I've been tired, I've been weary, I've been worn out, and here comes a jumping song, and I'm sitting there, and I'm raising my hands to the Lord, oh, I'm clapping, and it's almost like the Holy Spirit leans over and whispers in my ear, will you jump for me? And I said, Lord, but I don't want to jump. And he says, but don't you love me? Of course, Lord, I love you, but do I have to jump to love you? And Holy Spirit's silent. It's like, well, Lord, I'll be a fool for you. You know what? I will be a fool for Jesus, and here I am jumping up and down for the Lord, right? Why? Because I love God, and I just want to push past the flesh, push past the discomfort of what's somebody going to think about me, push past that insecurity that says maybe someone will think less of me. No, listen, I don't care what other people think about me. The only one who I want somebody to think something of me, his name is Jesus. So to push past discomfort. But then also we can apply this to people as well. And if we're going to love people, we've got to push past ourselves. We've got to push past the discomfort. We've got to push past the insecurities. See, because in the natural, we want to isolate. We want to insulate, right? We want us to be cozy, warm, and fuzzy. And we just want it all good. Everything's copacetic. And don't move anything. Don't touch anything. Don't rock the boat. And yet God's calling us out of the boat. God's calling us to walk a walk of faith. God is calling us to love people as well. And last week we heard from Pastor Luke once again, to love people is to love God. That if we really love God, we'll do what he says. And we'll go out there and love people. We'll love what God loves. Because we are the beloved of God. That God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. See, God is in love with people. And if we're in love with God, then we got to love what God loves. Also, to love people is to follow Christ, to follow him in his sacrifice. To love God and to love people is to sacrifice. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus did, and now that's what you and I are to do for one another. And finally, to love people is to be sincere. In other words, you can't wear a mask. You can't be hypocritical in this. People are going to sniff you out like a bloodhound. And they know a fake. People know a hypocrite. People know when you're smiling and you're lying through your teeth. I mean, they can just sense it. They were telling me they love me, but I know they don't. They were telling me they want me to come to their church, but I'm not going to that church, man. Not the way that they are, right? Why? Because they can sniff out a fake. Actually, an interesting side thought, to take a little rabbit trail for a second. Sincere. If you look up the original word, it talks about being without wax. And what they would do is they'd have these pottery vessels and they would have these cracks in them and they used to fill them in with wax and then they would paint over the top of it so you didn't know that the vessel was cracked. Well, if the people were going to use those vessels for like hot foods or things like that, they would put that hot food in there and how many of you know wax melts? And so they would find out that that vessel was cracked when they put the hot food in it because the wax would melt. So they would find a vessel and they would hold it up to the light to see if it was insincere. See, you and I, when we're going to love people, we got to hold that up to the light and we got to show ourselves to be without wax, to be uncracked, to be stable and sturdy in our love, and to be sincere. That was just a side note. That's all for free. Verse 39 of Matthew chapter 22, we're told to love our neighbor as ourselves. To love our neighbors as ourselves. Quick thought. That means if we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, how do we love ourselves? Just ask yourself that question. How do I love myself? Sometimes people say, well, I don't love myself. You know, I don't like myself. I'm ugly. I'm stupid. I'm this. I'm that, right? And we could go through the list. You ask somebody what they like about themselves. Well, they don't have anything on that list. But what they don't like about themselves or what they would change about themselves, all of a sudden you got stacks, right? All sorts of stuff. But let me ask you this. Did you wake up this morning and take a shower? Hopefully. Did you feed yourself this morning? This afternoon, before you came to church? Yeah, yeah. Did you clothe yourself? When you go out and go shopping, do you buy stuff that you don't like or that you do like? Thank you, Pastor Eleanor. Pastor Eleanor buys stuff that she likes. See? So, for you and I, we know how to love ourselves. We know how to take care of ourselves. If I'm hungry, feed me, right? Self, feed myself, right? Why? Because I'm hungry. I need new clothes. These ones are old. These ones are worn out. These ones are tattered. I'm going to go get myself some new clothes. So now here comes the word of God saying to love your neighbor as yourself. That means that when you see a need in someone else's life, you take the initiative and you do to them what you would have done for yourself. Plain and simple. That's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do to you, right? So if you see somebody with a need, or if you see somebody that's out there doing their thing, you know, it's almost like being able to get outside of yourself for a second. And if you put yourself in their shoes, put yourself in their position, and you find yourself walking up to that position, what would you want someone to do to you? You see that, you grab the initiative, and then you do it for them. Now, this question has to be asked because it was asked in the Word by somebody. Somebody wanted to justify themselves, right? And Jesus had just got done talking about that this is the great commandment in the law, to love your neighbor as yourself is the second one. And all of a sudden they wanted to justify themselves and they said, and teacher, who is my neighbor? And you know, Jesus goes into the parable of the Good Samaritan, that there was a man who fell among thieves by the road. He was cast to the side, beaten, and left for dead. And here comes the religious leaders of the day. Here comes the people who should have been compassionate and kind and merciful. The people who should have gone and done something about it, and yet they snub their nose and they walk on the other side and don't do anything about it. Then here comes a Samaritan, somebody who is hated by society of that day. These were a half-breed, right? They were part of the Jews and part of the Gentiles, and therefore they were outcast and they were hated by the Jewish society of that time. And the Samaritan comes and he picks this man up and he bandages his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, right? He cleans him up and he sets him on his own animal, takes him to the inn and gets him a room and gets him rest. And he tells the innkeeper, he says, hey, here's what you need. This will cover his bills. And if anything else he charges, I'll take care of it when I come back. Now, we've heard enough great teaching on this parable to know that this was Jesus talking about himself, right? Because he was all God and he was all man. He was a breed of both, right? Coming together, he was hated by men, and yet he didn't leave us in that position. He didn't leave us there in the gutter. He didn't pass by on the other side, unable to do anything about our condition, but picked us up, bandaged us up, poured the oil of the Holy Spirit and his blood on us, right? Cleaned us up, took us to the inn, gave us a place, took care of every need and said, if they have need of anything else, when I return, I will take care of it. That's what Jesus did for you and I. But Jesus wraps up this parable, this story, and he says to the person asking the question, who is my neighbor? He says, who do you think was that man's neighbor? And he says, well, the one who had mercy on him. And what does he say? He says, go and do likewise. Wow. That means that we, in our life experience, as God places people in our path, we realize that's our neighbor. We realize that now these are the people that we affect. These are the people that we touch. These are the people that God has brought us that we can now impact, that we can change their life, that we can do something for, that we can pick them up, that we can clean them up by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ applied to their lives, that their needs can be taken care of by our Lord, and we can set them up for a victorious and successful life. So whatever we would want done to us, we see others in our life and we start to take care of other people in the Inland Empire as well as around the world like we talked about last week. Now, taken to the extreme, all right, so let's go there for a second. If you take this thought to the extreme, this actually makes for many awkward moments and some entertaining stories around the dinner table when you think about it. I remember one time we were talking about this. I was on a missions trip, and there was about 40 of us, and we all shared this one of those big old motor coaches, you know, the really big buses, right? And they're all up high and everything, and then they got the luggage on the bottom. And we toured around Europe, and as we were going around, we were preaching the gospel in the different places. And you know, like with anybody who's been with somebody for a couple months, it was a three-month trip, you know, there was some conflict that went on the team. And so, you know, the leadership addressed us and told us, hey, we want to teach you guys how to love one another. And so, you know, if you got a problem with somebody, go and make it right. You know, if you've been gossiping, go back around and make sure to clean that up and this and that. And then if somebody's bugging you, all right, do an act of kindness for them. That's how you're going to love on those people, is you got to get outside of yourself and sacrificially love on them. So think about something you would want as a gift given to you, and you give it to them. Well, don't you know, the moment they gave that command, everybody went out and did it all at the same time, right? So all of a sudden, you knew the people that bugged other people on the team, because as you were walking by all the tents where everybody was sleeping, this person had nothing, this person had nothing, this person had a stack of stuff, you know? They had all the candy, all the soda, they had like magazines and stuff. I mean, it was just, they were stacked up, and I thought, my goodness, this person really was annoying. Little awkward, right? I shared one time, you know, that, hey, you know, I like Snicker bars. And so, you know, one time somebody was bugging me, so I bought him a Snicker bar. Don't you know I had like three of them on my desk the next day? And I'm thinking, what did I do to anybody that I get a Snicker bar, you know? Come on. Come on. Let's not make it so obvious. Let's spread it out a little bit. You know, take your time. All right, if I find any Snicker bars with your name on my desk, I'm coming after you. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 16 and 17 in the Message, talking about awkward moments. Proverbs 25, 16 and 17 in the Message says, when you're given a box of candy, don't gulp it all down. Eat too much chocolate and you'll make yourself sick. How many of you can say amen? And when you find a friend, don't outwear your welcome. Show up at all hours and he'll soon get fed up. In other words, if you take this message and you say, wow, I'm going to love people, and all of a sudden you're like that puppy dog, right? It can get annoying. So back it down. Ease it down, okay? Ease into this thing. Don't try and gulp it all down all at once, okay? Take it slow. Take it easy. How about this? Proverbs chapter 27, verse 14 in the Message. If you wake your friend in the early morning by shouting, rise and shine, it will sound to him more like a curse than a blessing. All the people who like to sleep in said amen. So this doesn't mean that we act like the boy who gave his mom the baseball glove on Mother's Day, all right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, all right, hey, I got you this baseball glove. Well, what do I need this for, right? And they give it back to you. Yes, got it. But we're to fit how we would want to be loved into the context of other people's lives. Let me say that again. We are to fit how we would want to be loved into the context of other people's lives. Think about it like this. If you saw somebody who had need of just encouragement, and these people you know were motivated by time spent, right? Their encouragement comes when somebody spends time with them. They just need someone to hang out with, someone to talk to, someone to just spend some quality time with, right? If you see that person that's motivated in that way, but you're motivated by gifts, right? And you bring them a gift and say, hey, I just wanted to encourage you. I'll see you later, pal. And you run off. Didn't do them any good. But if you see that person in need and you say, you know what? In the context of their life, in their situation, they need somebody to hang with. They need some time spent. And you go ahead and you get involved in their life and you spend some time, you hang out with them, that's going to do more for them. So when you see other people's lives, you've got to fit yourself into the context of what they need. Just recently, we had one of my family members was in the hospital, and my aunt, loved my aunt and uncle, they're great people. My aunt and uncle live up in the high desert area, and yet the hospital that they were staying at was right down here. And so my uncle called me up and said, hey, your aunt's been there all day, hasn't eaten a thing. Can you just go get her some food? And my wife and I were getting ready to get the kids down to bed, and we were getting ready to, you know, start turning things down and getting ready for the next day, that sort of a thing. And yet, we looked at each other and we said, in the context of our lives, you know, how would we want to be treated? If it was us, if this was me sitting in the hospital all day, hadn't had anything to eat, you know, what would I want done for me? So I went out, got some Chick-fil-A, oh glory to God, brought it down to the hospital and encouraged my aunt with that food. See, it can be simple things. It can be just easy things. It doesn't have to be like, you know, that puppy dog mentality where you're just there and you're overwhelming and all that kind of stuff. But it's tough to do. It is tough to do. And just like we talked about, it is sacrificial to do this because you've got to get outside of yourself. You've got to push past that discomfort. It's tough. So tonight, a couple quick things. Tough love. Okay, everybody with me tonight? All right, I'm glad that four of you are. Is everybody with me tonight? There you are, and there's some more of you guys. Okay, tough love tonight. Number one, covers the faults of others. If we're going to love people, it's tough to love, but tough love covers the faults of others. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to take a look at verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8. Tough love covers the faults of others. Because people have faults. I don't know if you knew that. All of us have faults. All of us have things that we're dealing with. God's not finished with any of us yet. But tough love, it's tough to love, but tough love covers the faults of others. And so when you encounter those faults, you know, maybe you give somebody a present and they don't say thank you. Man, you just want to knock them out, right? Well, they're ungrateful. Tough love covers the faults of others. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8 says, and above all things, everybody say above all things. Above all things. Oh, come on, everybody say above all things. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Wow, that didn't just say one sin. Didn't just say two sins or a bunch of sins or this week's sins. No, it said a multitude of sins. In other words, if you have that fervent, passionate love for other people, even though they're messed up, even though they have faults, love will cover that multitude of sins. You will be able to move past that and love people through those faults, love people through those pressures, through those trials, through their learning and growing process into a realm with God. Love covers the faults of others. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9, I'll put it up on the overhead for you in the Amplified, says, he who covers and forgives an offense seeks love. But he who repeats or harps on a matter separates even close friends. Remember, I had a friend one time, and when we had first met, I was hanging with a group of people that didn't like this other guy, right? And so they were messing with him and this and that. And then we met up in church later on, and I said, hey, you know, I saw you over, and I was hanging out with my friends. I'm sorry about the way that they were. They were just being jerks, this and that. And so he goes, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. Well, then for the rest of our friendship, he kept bringing that back up. I remember when you first met me, man, you were hanging out with these people, and you didn't like me. And I said, no, I liked you. It's just my friends were being stupid, you know? So just forgive me for that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt you, man. So I'm your friend though, you know? Oh, okay. No, we're cool. I just remember that. And then the next time we meet up, man, he'd bring it up again. Finally, I had to stop. I said, hey, listen. Do you forgive me? Oh, yeah, I forgive you. Okay, do you release me of any debt or any pain? I mean, do you want to like slap me on the back or something with a rod or anything? No, we're good, right? I said, then please stop bringing it up if you really forgave me. Because I want to be your friend, but it's tough when you keep bringing up hurtful things in the past. See, if we really are seeking after love, the Bible says, he who covers and forgives an offense seeks love, but he who repeats or harps on a matter separates even close friends. You know, husbands and wives, if you keep bringing stuff up from the past, keep unearthing things and digging up stuff that was buried, it's going to separate you in your marriage. But if you guys are going to be close, then forgive and move past it. Walk in love. Seek love in your marriage. Seek love in your friendships. Seek love with others. Okay? Tough love, number one, covers the faults of others. Number two, tough love goes beyond what is expected. Ugh. We don't like this one. See, in our society, there's an expectation. You go this far, and then after this far, that's it. You cut it off. That's enough. Why should you get used or abused by other people? See, if you go out there and you try and love somebody, they're going to use you. You try and love somebody, they're going to abuse you. I tried that and I got hurt. So don't even go there. You give them this much and that's enough. Don't you love them past that point, because you're going to get hurt. And we're so afraid. We're so skeptical in our society. We've got these walls up, we've got these things up, and we're guarding our hearts, and we're saying, you know what, no. I'll love you to this point, but if you mess up, you're cut off. Right? Oh, you do that to me? Man, it's coming back greater on you. Turn the cold shoulder on people and just shut people out. And yet, God is not asking us to do that. God is asking us to lay down our lives like the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what did it take for Jesus to open himself up to our infirmities, to our sicknesses, to our weaknesses? Think about this. This is God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Word of God, who was with God in the beginning and who was God, now becoming flesh, now subjected to earthly, human, frail, weak flesh. And not only that, we didn't make it easy on him. People were hating on him. People messed with him. People scorned him. People shut him out. They tried to kill him. Eventually, he allowed his life to be laid down and he was beaten. His beard was torn out. People spat in his face and he was crucified, nailed to a tree, and people mocked him, even on the cross. And what are we afraid of? We're afraid of getting hurt. See, my hurt is nothing compared to the hurt of Jesus. My pain is nothing compared to the pain of Jesus, and my sacrifice is nothing compared to the sacrifice of Jesus that he gave to love you and I. See, tough love goes beyond what is expected. In the message, once again, I'll put it up on the overhead for you. In Matthew chapter 5, you can read along if you want to because it's just as good in whatever translation you read it in. But in the Message Bible, it says in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse number 43, Jesus is speaking and he says, "You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy." You're familiar with that. Love your friends, but hate your enemies, right? Now look at what Jesus says. He says, "I'm challenging that." In other words, Jesus came along and he challenged the status quo. He said, "That's not good enough. That's not right. Let's get this thing straight. I'm challenging that." And then he comes along in his authority. He says, "I'm telling you to love your enemies." Wait a second. We don't love our enemies. We hate our enemies. Our enemies are bad. We can't love enemies. No, this is all wrong. Jesus, you just flipped it all upside down. No, I'm telling you to love your enemies. Look at what he says. "Let them bring out the best in you and not the worst." When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. Wow. In other words, if you've been born again and Jesus Christ now lives on the inside of you, when somebody comes along that Jesus died for and they start to mess with you and they start to push on you, the only thing that should come out of you is what's inside of you. And if Jesus is on the inside of you, then Jesus will come out of you. Look at what it goes on to say. It says, "This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and bad, the nice and nasty." Wow. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? See, that's just going to the line. That's, "I'm going to love you this much right here." But beyond that line, you cross that line, I can't do anything for you. I can't love you. And he says, if that's all you do you expect a bonus? If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect anything more? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? "Oh, look how great I am. I greeted everybody in church today, man. Everybody said hi to me. I said hi back. I was lovable. I was nice. I smiled. I was great in the parking lot." Oh, but the moment somebody cuts you off on the freeway, all of a sudden you're telling them number one. And it's not the pointer finger. And he says, "You want a medal for that?" Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. So you can walk down streets of San Bernardino, streets of L.A., wherever you are at. You can say hi to people, they'll say hi back. You can be nice to people, smile at people, they'll smile back. Anybody can do that. But when you love your enemy, now you're going beyond what is expected. When people are mean to you, when they give you a hard time, and you respond by praying for them. Somebody cuts you off on the freeway, and you say, "Lord, keep them safe. Bless them. Get them into church. Get them into my church. Sit them next to me, Lord, so I can minister the love of Jesus to them." Now you've gone beyond the expectation. Tough love, number one, covers the faults of others. Number two, it goes beyond what is expected. Last thing for tonight, it takes care of family first. I'll explain this in a minute, but do you remember the old attitude that siblings used to have in school? Right? Siblings would go to school, and they're at school, you know, all weekend long, Saturday, Sunday, on their way to church, on their way home from church, they're fighting, right? Cats and dogs, saying all sorts of mean things about each other, just fighting, right? Siblings just don't even like each other, mean to each other. Then they get on the school bus, and some little punk kid, all of a sudden wants to say something about your brother, and you stand up and you say, "Hey! You be quiet, that's my brother." Now what's the attitude? "I can be mean to him, but you can't." Why? Family's first. Okay? Everybody got the picture? Galatians chapter 6, turn there with me. Galatians chapter 6. Talking about the attitude of family first. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially, did you see it? Especially, oh, that means priority, that means first, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So let us do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Sometimes we come into church and, you know, we're getting some victory in our lives and we're doing good. You know, God starts to bless us. And then we see our brother in church. Brother is dealing with the same issue they've been dealing with since you met them. And you say, man, you've been in church all this time. You still haven't got a hold of it. And sometimes we cast judgment and we put those people down instead of saying, hey, these people are the household of faith. Come on, brother, you're caught up in a fault. Let me help you. Let me encourage you. Let me show you how I got some victory in this area. We see somebody that's coming to church, man, maybe they're poor, maybe they're needy. You know, and we say, man, don't they get all the principles of God, work hard, and, you know, God can do these things. And we start to judge and criticize. Rather than say, hey, let me help you. Hey, you know, has anybody helped you build a resume? Has anybody helped you get some links to a job, some opportunities here? Let me help you out. Let me give this to you. Let me show you how I do in my business. Let me give you some principles here. Let's work together. So blessed, because there were some guys in the young adults ministry years ago when I was, my wife and I were leading, and some of them are still there today, as a matter of fact. And one of the guys was having trouble finding a job, and he had taken on a roommate, and his roommate actually woke up one morning and saw his friend there on the couch with no job, right? And his friend was on the couch, and he was getting ready to go to work, and he saw his friend there on the couch, and he kicked him. Bam! Get up! What are you doing? He said, get up, come on. We are going to get you a job right now. And they went out, and before this guy went to work, he took this other guy out, and they went around canvassing the area to find him a job. I was so blessed. Why? Because that's the household of faith. That's brothers in the Lord doing something for each other, seeing the needs of someone else and taking the initiative and saying, hey, I can help you in this area. So, tough love. If we're going to do what's tough, what doesn't come naturally, tough love, number one, covers the faults of others. Number two, tough love goes beyond what's expected. And number three, tough love takes care of family first. If you got something from the Word tonight, come on, let's give God a great big praise. Hallelujah.